This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. For the second time, the Knight Foundation has launched the Knight News Challenge on Libraries, which is an innovation competition offering a share of $3 million for ideas that answer the question, how might libraries serve 21st century information needs? To speak to me about that project is Knight Foundation Vice President for Media Innovation, John Bracken. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Before we really get into news challenge, can you just tell listeners briefly what the Knight Foundation is?
Yes. So Knight Foundation is a national foundation that's really concerned about Americans and their ability to access the information they need to live in a democracy. Our work primarily centers on the fact that we come out of the Knight brothers, who owned for much of the 20th century was the largest newspaper publishing company in the U.S. So the values of journalism, the notion that publicly available information is vital to being able to live our lives in a republic, and the commitment to the uniqueness of place, and particularly eight cities in which we work deeply, those are two of the hallmarks of our work.
I had heard growing up about just, you know, Knight Ritter newspapers and stuff like that, so I'd kind of heard that in the background of my head. And the first time I really heard about the foundation was when I started getting into listening to NPR, because there's a lot of brought to you by the John Foundation. So that's why I would always hear that a lot. And that's a great, that's a great thing that you guys do. And right on their site, it says Knight Foundation informed and engaged communities. And that's what really shows how libraries can fit into that, because that's exactly what libraries do too, is we're informing and engaging communities just like journalists do. So we fit right into your mission. So
that's why we're here. That's why I'm talking to you.
So we're in the middle of the Knight News Challenge on Libraries, the new one that just started. Can you talk about what that is and how that started?
Yeah, I mean, I think, our work with innovation in libraries started by accident. I'm glad that you see the obvious connections between information and communities and libraries. For our work, it took an accident for us to really realize that this was an area we needed to spend a lot of time thinking about. We ran the Knight News Challenge that you mentioned is a media innovation contest that we've run for the last 8 years or so. And we ran one in conjunction with Mozilla Foundation and Ford Foundation, focused on strengthening the internet for community information. And to our surprise, when we kind of got through the process and looked at, the nearly 1,000 applications we had, three of the eight major winners we had to that challenge were libraries. We're slow, but we're not that slow. So we sort of scratched our heads and looked around the environment and looked what was happening in libraries, both nationally and in the eight communities in which we work. And then reread our mission and our focus on ensuring that all Americans have access to information, and our particular concern about the opportunities and challenges that the digital environment brings to the table around that. And we realized that libraries would be pretty good partners to address some of those goals that we have. And so we ran an innovation contest focused on libraries in 2014 and announced the winners in 2015. And almost immediately, as we kind of closed that process, we realized that we wanted to come back to this community, that the level of passion we saw both from within the library world, but also from people from other parts of our larger network around libraries was striking. And so we're coming back again to the community, both libraries and the people who love and want to work with libraries, and asking the question, how might libraries serve 21st century information needs?
Yeah, and I was looking on your on the Knight Foundation site, and I saw that there's actually been the foundation actually supported libraries in different ways all the way, I think it said 1971 or something like that was like the first grant to libraries. So
yeah,
that's great that it's had that long support. So
Yeah, no, it's true. It was to the Akron Summit County Public Library that we gave back in 1971, and then a little bit more recently, around 2007 or so, we did a project with the Aspen Institute called the Knight Commission on the Information Needs of Communities in a Democracy. And one of the conclusions from that process, largely prompted by the testimony that I happened to witness from Mary Dempsey, the then head of Chicago Public Library, focused on libraries as essential, if you're going to care about information needs, that libraries are just such a key component of that. And then we've done work with libraries in the 8 communities in which we work deeply, and have done some work with, supported the launch and some early stage work from the Digital Public Library of America as well.
Ask about the DPLA. What made you guys want to get involved with them when they were getting started up?
Yeah, I think, I think the goal of the DPLA to take advantage of the opportunities the internet provides was really exciting, and almost the ambitious goals that they've had just fit in both to leverage technology for community information needs has fit in with our work generally. And I should say, as we've gone through and run the News Challenge and other related projects, we see this notion of archiving generally. So we've worked with Metro New York. We've helped a project with called StoryCorps, which has partnered with a lot of different libraries, the Internet Archive. This notion of how do we preserve our memories and all this personal information that often we have in our homes in such a way that it can live online in ways that are both secure and accessible. That's a thread that we've seen run through a lot of different ideas, both through the News Challenge and other parts of our work.
And one thing that I like is that you guys have sent people to the American Library Association conferences to promote, I think, the challenge, but then also to promote the projects that won the first time around, so that people can come and ask questions about it. And you had times at your booth and everything where people could come and have questions about those with the people who actually did the projects. And I think that's great too, because you're continuing to share the information about what you funded actually. So,
yeah, that's a core to what we've been doing. And, as we've gathered different advisors through the News Challenge from and around the library world, one of the key takeaways, pieces of advice we received, is that it's not enough just to fund cool, neat projects. It's not enough to partner with a project like Library for All or Library Freedom Project, but we really need to make sure that the lessons and the talent and the products that are being produced from those projects are not just one-off projects, but rather are the types of things that the field generally can benefit from and learn from, and potentially integrate some of those lessons into the larger set of work emerging out of libraries these days.
That's great. And I know I've actually had a couple of people who have won the last time challenge on the show before. I had Allison yep. McCrina from Library Freedom Project. I had Jason Griffey, Measure the Future. And I think his Library Box project had won a previous prototype.
Exactly.
Grant as well. So yeah. Can you talk about some other, you can talk about them if you'd like to, but other previous winners of the challenge, the people who are thinking of applying to it, kind of have some idea of what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I'll preface this by saying we don't know what we're looking for, right?
Right.
One of the ways that we've sort of tried to hack philanthropy is that, we're not taking the traditional approach of saying, here are the 8 things that we really want to see. Tell us your ideas for executing on those 8 things. We know that the people working in libraries, the people who use and experience libraries, and the people who aspire to work with libraries have ideas. And what we're trying to do is to create a vessel for all of you to share those ideas. If you go to newschallenge.org, you'll see some of them up already. And one of the things we're really conscious of is creating an open forum for people to share their ideas and to have conversations about them. We've seen previous winners result from individuals seeing one another's ideas and then come on the website on newschallenge.org and then coming together and to collaborate to make them stronger programs. So, really the only constraint we have is the question we're asking of how might libraries serve 20th 21st century information needs. And within that, it's a really broad, broad theme. I mean, I think we'll have two sets of winners. We'll have one set of winners. You mentioned our prototype funds. One set of winners will be ideas that haven't been tested yet. And we have a process for providing a small amount of funding and some training in the practices of getting ideas out of your head and into ways that potential users can react to it and give you feedback. And we do that in a pretty quick turnaround. So that's one route. And the other route is larger, longer term funding, like we did with Library Freedom Project, where the funding enables a project that's already been road tested, but it's new and can provide lessons to the field overall, funding for that idea to really come to fruition and stretch out and build product that people can use and benefit from.
And do you have any other, like you said, you don't have specific requirements of what you're looking for, but do you have any other advice to people who are wanting to make an application to it as to how they can make their application really stand out?
Yeah, I mean, my first piece of advice is riffing off of something I've heard from a journalism educator named Emily Bell, which is proceed until apprehended. You know, we've seen a lot of exciting ideas come not through the official channels of a library development office or through the library director, but we want those people who might be an assistant manager in a branch or a clerk or, you know, people who have ideas, but not necessarily the vessel to institutionally apply those ideas, we want them to apply. And what I encourage people is to apply first and ask for permission later. We intentionally create low bars to entry. So I think we're asking five questions, I believe. It's not meant to be a giant 200-page application that you send in. It's not it's really meant to be lightweight and rapid. So that's my first thing is, you know, if you have never applied for a foundation grant, you're at an advantage. This is the program for you. Within that, you know, because we're doing this quickly and because we'll probably receive upwards of 500 applications by the time things are over, being concise, using nouns and verbs, and fewer adjectives and adverbs is really important. You know, using language that anyone that's not overly technical that anyone can understand is really important. And also because the application's happening online and it's the web, using visuals and graphics and even, you know, a photo from your phone of a cocktail napkin sketch of what you're proposing, we found is really helpful. And I guess the last thing I'd say too is when people have questions, we've got, you know, different ways that people can reach out. We're going to be doing in about 2 weeks, we'll be doing virtual office hours, which you can find out about through newschallenge.org, where you can come in and ask me or some of my colleagues more particular questions.
So how can people apply? What's the process for applying if somebody is hearing this and they're going, wow, I do have a great idea. And just to be clear too, it says on the site, you don't actually have to be a librarian to do this. The point is to improve libraries, but you don't have to be a librarian.
That's right. And that's one thing that we've seen in the past is we've seen, you know, non-library specific folks, you know, come up with ideas and partner with libraries. And that's, you know, that's one of the exciting things and features of libraries is that they are, as they're a unique public institution that can collaborate and partner with other people who share these values of building stronger communities. So I think that's exactly right. And I, you know, if we're really excited to see what might come out of some of those collaborations. So it's, you know, it's five questions that we're asking. You know, it's, I think one of the things we're really focused on is asking the question of who is your audience and what are their information needs. And to the extent that you're able to demonstrate that you've thought that through, you have an understanding of whom it is you're trying to reach and engage with and what you hope to get out of that. That's really important. So that's one of the values. And I think the other thing I would say is it's also really helpful to look at the ideas that are already posted. And you know, we're on the internet. So whether it's Twitter or whether it's through newschallenge.org or via email, there are lots of different ways to sort of, you know, observe and engage with the ideas that are out there. So even if you don't have an idea, your reaction to and response to the ideas that you're seeing is helpful to us and informs our understanding of where the projects exist. And I guess the other thing I'll emphasize is that it's a pretty, we try to keep it pretty rapid. So, you know, we'll turn off the deadline for applying is March 21st. So in a little under 3 weeks, if you're listening to this today. And then we'll be doing a set of review processes, and we're planning to announce the winners at ALA at the end of June in Orlando. So it's the type of thing where you won't have to wait a long time for it to build out your idea.
And that's another good reason to have a nice, concise, clear message. So just for all you people who are having to read those and judge those, because I know it just from like the interviewing process, you know, when you get those really, really long cover letters, it's like, all right, come on. you're just naturally going to get fatigued by reading that. And you don't, you want to give everything a fair shake, but just be very clear in your communications.
Yep. Which librarians are, I mean, you know, yes. Librarians specialized in sharing information and getting it to the people in ways that they can actually use. And so that's why, you know, again, my experience is that the more the people doing the work and thinking through these things and have their little whiteboard sketch ideas, this is we're the audience. We're the audience you've been looking for.
So I know a lot of the Knight Foundation kind of comes from sort of a journalistic, and you've supported journalism a lot. And one thing that I've had a couple of journalists on the show, and one of the things that I always sort of want to commiserate with them with is that we're kind of both in professions that are, everybody says are dead or dying off. And because newspapers and libraries, everybody thinks are dying, but obviously we're not. What do you see as sort of obviously, I guess the Knight Foundation sees a bond there between libraries and journalism, and we're all kind of serving the same kind of thing. What do you see as sort of that bonding between those two kind of things?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, we've worked closely with people trying to transform news organizations, and a lot of the frustrations and the challenges that people inside of newsrooms have who are trying to adapt to the digital age overlap with what we're hearing from out of people working inside of libraries. I mean, I think there's some real differences too, right? Libraries, public libraries in particular, are public institutions and not part of the direct marketplace, which makes things a little bit different. Libraries, by definition, are tasked with serving everyone. And news organizations are still, you know, wrestling with audience and how to apply what we're learning about digital products towards audiences. But I think fundamentally the notion of how do we provide information to people in ways that they can use it and ways that allow them to improve their lives and the lives of their communities, that's a fundamental commonality. Also, frankly, you know, I think there's both in news and in libraries, there's an emerging cohort of leaders and makers who are hacking the institutions and rebuilding them in new ways. There's an entrepreneurial spirit in both sectors that's really exciting. And I think what we look for is ways we can help apply that entrepreneurial spirit in ways that strengthen the institutions that have been around and been such core parts of civic life for most of our country's existence.
Yeah, no, because I always think there's something sort of at the core of both of them, that the old ways that we did things are not necessarily going to be, you know, yes, some point in the future, yeah, there may not be paper newspapers, and some point in the future, we may not have lots of physical books on the shelves or things like that, but there's still a right core to our professions that are important to a democracy.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of overlap with that. And we've, you know, similarly with museums are going through similar conversations. We work a lot with community-based foundations, which have similar type. I mean, I think our industry of philanthropy is also being challenged and disrupted by the internet and the ability for people to donate and apply their own money to civic projects like Kickstarter. So I think there's a lot of commonality. And one of the things we try to pull, and we'll be pulling this together in Orlando in June, is the different parts of our community where they, so they can explore those overlaps. So we will have, among the people helping us to review the library entries, will be journalists and people out of a university environment. And similarly, when we look at the, you know, when we've done news challenges around data in the internet, we like to also put a library lens on it and make sure we're thinking about them together. We're really trying to build an information ecosystem and create connections across the different industries.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I never really thought about that, about the philanthropy sort of being disrupted as well, about how the Knight Foundation is sort of integrating yourselves and changing to meet the digital age?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think one, the fact that we're running something like this news challenge in a way that's open and on the internet and isn't about, you know, ideas coming to us in an envelope so we can sit up in our 33rd floor office and go through these ideas and make decisions in private. But we really try to make as much of the process as possible transparent and open and encourage people to share their thoughts and ideas. I think, you know, we've also at the foundation done a lot of work on promoting giving days and working with community foundations here in Miami and in St. Paul and in other cities we work to really try to encourage the residents of the community to take part in these. In social media and the internet are a huge component of encouraging those types of individual donations. So those are two ways. I mean, I think fundamentally for us, it's incumbent upon us as an institution, just as with libraries and other pre-internet institutions, to observe and respond to the ways in which Americans engage with information and their civic institutions are changing, and to be adaptive to that and to go where people are going. And that means being more open. It means being transparent. It means being adaptable and open and embracing change, and not just trying to survive the change.
That's great. Yeah, because I've read a few things, especially I know you guys have done some stuff working with government as well, and I think that's great because government seems to be one of those things that takes the longest to get to be behind to catch up to the digital age because they have to work with old laws that don't necessarily work with things. Like I've read a couple of things recently about the Paperwork Reduction Act makes it really hard for government officials to actually ask questions on social media, and that it has to go through this big long process. And so I appreciate all the work that you guys do.
Good. Thanks. It's fun and I'm glad you do.
So John, where can people go to apply for the News Challenge?
So newschallenge.org is the place to go. That's where people can apply now through March 21st. In addition, we'll be holding virtual office hours on March 16th, and you can find that posted either at newschallenge.org, or you can find us on Twitter, KnightFDN, Knight with a K, FDN on Twitter, and we'll have all the details there. And I guess the other thing I'll highlight it for anyone heading down to South by Southwest in Austin in about a week. We'll be there for the overlap of South by Southwest EDU and South by Southwest Interactive. We'll be doing a couple of panels and doing some non-conference events and opportunities to come and ask questions and to hear from previous winners in the News Challenge, including San Jose Public Library and Peer-to-Peer University and some others.
And you said the winners will be announced at the ALA conference. Will you all have a booth there as well, just to talk for previous winners again too, or?
Precisely. Yeah. We're talking, ALA has been a great partner with us on this, and so we're looking with ALA to do a thing where we really put a focus on the projects that we announced in January of 2015 at midwinter. We really want this ALA to be sort of the graduation ceremony for those projects, where they come back and share with all of us what's worked, what hasn't worked, what they're thinking about doing next. So we're looking at Orlando as an opportunity to report back on our previous investments and to unveil what the set of investments we're going to be working with through 2017 and beyond.
Well, I think librarians are good sharers, so I think it's probably the people who won in the January of 2015 will probably be happy to share their experience with the people who win this next challenge and
definitely
can help move all these projects forward. So thanks so much for talking to me, John. And I hope everyone, if you are interested in applying, that you do that. Again, it's not, you need to have a good idea, but it's, they make it easy to apply. So don't stress about that.
And I would say you can have a bad idea as long as it's something, you know, that you haven't seen before. We'd love to hear it. Even if it's half of an idea, you won't lose any points, you know, by throwing it up and letting people react to it. You know, one of the nice, I think the projects we invest in are just the tip of the iceberg. One of the things we've seen is that all the other, the hundreds of other ideas that don't receive grants really can serve as a resource for other people to come back and get ideas for other projects or find other collaborators. So if you have something that's been sitting in your back pocket that you want to stretch out and share publicly, that's newschallenge.org is exactly what we've built for you to do.
All right. Well, I will submit my idea for a podcast about cats and their librarians. So.
Yeah, man. I'm in.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, Steve. Thank you so much.
All right, bye. Circulating Ideas is produced by Steve Thomas in the suburbs of Atlanta. Music is by Pamela Klicka. If you'd like to learn more about the show, listen to past episodes, or read transcripts, visit circulatingideas.com. You can follow the show on Twitter @CircIdeas, like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/circulatingideas, or drop me an email at mail@circulatingideas.com. If you'd like to support the show, visit patreon.com/circideas. And please rate, review, and recommend the show on iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice to help others find the show. Thank you for listening, and keep circulating the ideas. I'm going to start over again because my cat is meowing in the background.
Shush, go away.
That's going to be that's your next podcast, right?
Yes. She does that every once in a while, not too often.
Librarians and their cats.
Yes. That would be the most popular one on the internet.